gonna do what I can do. I tell you, when the ebb is low, it's hard to get her high, church. And but we'll do the best we can tonight and bring the thought. And if we can get a hold of the thought that God was dealing with me about just a little bit, standing back there just a minute ago, I believe that it'll be a blessing to all of us. Amen. Psalm number 63, let's read the title, a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judea. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee, my soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word in the evening hour. Let's pray. And if you know how to pray, I need you to pray tonight that God would divinely intervene in this service and move our hearts and help us in this hour. Church, we are in desperate need of a visitation of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I'm telling you, some of you, my friend, need to wake up and realize just how desperate we are to have the presence of God in our midst again in this place. Let's pray and ask, seek God's face. Our Father, I thank You tonight, Lord, for Thy Word that's been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. And I realize, Lord, that the little feeble thought that I have on my heart is not much. But, Lord, little is much when God is in it. And I pray that even if I do no more than talk tonight, that God would divinely intervene and drive this great truth home to our hearts this evening. I pray that You'll save sinners, that Thy name might be glorified, Thy work upon earth might be fulfilled. And I pray, Lord, that You'll bless the saints of God. Lord, will Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Now have Your divine will and way in our heart tonight, and give us grace and victory, and we'll thank You for it. We need Your presence. I pray that You'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out Your sovereign grace, Your mercy and love upon Your children tonight, and bless our hearts in spiritual things, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Look at verse number 7 this evening for our text. There David says, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. David said, because in the past I have experienced the help of God, and based upon God's help in the past, I will rejoice in the shadow of God's wings. Now, if God would help me tonight for maybe 15 minutes, I feel like that may be all longer, I can take it. But if God will help me tonight, I want to preach for a little while on the argument of experience. The argument of experience. I do believe that's what we find David doing here, is setting forth a spiritual argument. Now, I'm not talking, and I'll define argument in a minute. I'm not talking about the kind of argument that children today fuss and raise hell and argue with their parents. I'm not talking about how disgruntled church members argue about everything under the sun. I'm talking about a divine argument, a basis that we may put faith and confidence in the Lord, that what God has done for us in the past, that God will do it again in the present and in the future. Now, in Psalm 63, David once again finds himself in a great dilemma of life. He finds himself in the wilderness. Now, I want to say to you, my friend, that we'll spend most of our Christian life in these type of dilemmas. Calamities are something that are frequent and usual to the people of God. You mark it down, my friend. It is one dilemma after another dilemma after another dilemma. And if you're not willing to pay that kind of a price and girt down and stay in the saddle and serve God, you might as well raise up the white flag of surrender to the devil right now and capitulate and throw in the towel. For I'm telling you that it is not going to get any better for the people of God in 1999. I was looking in a book on something, I forget what it was on just recently, but it was talking about the martyrs and those men that had been martyred for the cause of Christ. And several of them were burnt to the stake for the glory of God. And I tell you, we can't even handle little old petty anythings in our life. We let the smallest things get us down and rob us of the joy of the Lord, rob us of the blessings of God. David said that he was in the wilderness, but because of God's past blessings in his life, that he would yet rejoice and take refuge under the wings of the canopy, under the protective power of Almighty God. I'm telling you, he was driven from the outward ordinances of God, but he was not driven from the presence of God. And yet there in the wilderness, my friend, he was able to rejoice in God with divine assurance that God would restore that joy to him, and it was based upon what God had done for him in his past life. Now, I want to say to you tonight, friend, if you've ever experienced God and his delivering power in your past life, that is a basis or an argument for you that you might have it yet in your future life. That's right. Now, I sat back here a minute ago and was a-thinking that David was in the wilderness. Do you know how to get out of the wilderness? You have to take the same path out of it that you followed into it. That's right. There's only one way to get out, and that's to do an about-face and follow the same path back out that led you into it. And the thought that occurred to me is that I'm afraid that may be where we're living tonight. I believe we're wandering under the dark cloud in the wilderness, and the devil has robbed us of our joy. Hey, by the way, David said in verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Now, I'm telling you, my friend, we have wandered into the wilderness, and the devil has robbed us there of the joy of the Lord. I want to say to you, friend, that we've not always been there. Oh, no. And the way back to where we used to be is right down the same path that we followed to get where we are. I've heard preachers preach all my life, and they made statements. They said, whatever it takes to get the presence and the glory of God in the house of God is what it's going to take to keep the glory and the power of God in the house of God. Now, I'm telling you, if we relinquish ground to the devil, mark it down, my friend. We're going to lose the glory and the power of God. And whatever it was 3 years ago that brought the power and the glory in this place is what it's going to take, my friend, to bring her back in this place. And amen. And I can argue that from the basis of what God has done for me already in the past. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. Now, in verse number 6, I won't tarry too long tonight. In verse number 6, David's memory is refreshed as he meditates upon the Lord in the night watches. And he recalls God's deliverances in the past. Let me ask you something. When you lay down at night, where's your mind at? What are you thinking of when you go to bed at night? Most men are thinking about the job the next morning. Most women are thinking about the hell that their children's going to raise the next morning. I'm going to tell you something. If you'd take that crowd in hand one time, you wouldn't have to worry about that mess all the time. We ought to go. David laid down in the wilderness, meditating upon what God had done for him in the past. When he meditated upon God's past deliverances, it refreshed his mind, and David was able to say, Therefore, I will yet rejoice under the shadow of God's wing. God has been my help in the past. Therefore, I can rejoice in the shadow of God's wing. I'm going to ask you something, friend. Has God ever helped you in the past? Hallelujah to God. The Bible said He is a very present help in trouble. In trouble and out of trouble, every time I get in, God brings me out. God has been my help and your help in a time of trouble. And if He has, bless our rotten, stinking, ungodly heart. God will yet be our help in trouble that we're in today. That's His wonderful name. He knows more about trouble than we do. Amen. Devil might have got us in it, but Jesus can get us out. The flesh might have been weak, but He's strong. Amen. He'll get us out of the trouble. Old David remembers that. And I'm going to be honest. It would be right well for you and I if we'd keep a spiritual diary. And write down in that spiritual diary every time that God helped you when you was in a time of suffering, any time you were in want, any time you were in tribulation, any time that you were in between a rock and a hard spot, and God brought you out of that. Write it down, friend, in your spiritual diary. And when you get in another dilemma, go back to that diary. It will be an argument for the basis of God's deliverance again in your life. Now, if you can get a hold of this, it'll help you. Now, I'm fixing to preach a few little things here in a minute, so just hang on. That is the grand use of our memory, folks. The grand use. To remember, it furnishes us with proofs of God's faithfulness to us. His faithfulness is, it is renewed every morning. God is a God of faithfulness. And if we'll look back on the time that God was faithful to us and helped us, it can be an argument for future deliverances or for present deliverances in the dilemma that we might be living in. And some of you tonight in a greater dilemma than what you think you are. Some of you in here tonight is on the very threshold of going to hell. And you need to be saved by the grace of God. Oh yes, somebody said, Preacher Hall, not us. I'm telling you that some of you tonight are hanging out over hell on a corn silk, and the devil's about to burn your corn silk in half, and you're going to plummet to your death without God and without hope. My friend, you need desperately the help of God in your life tonight. Oh, yes, sir. Son, sinners need to be saved by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you, if God ever brings you out, never delivers you that one time. You'll have an argument. You'll have a leg to stand on that you might go to God with confidence that if He delivered you out of sin, that God will deliver you out of every dilemma of life you get involved in. Huh? That's right. Hey, we cannot have a better security for present nor future than God's former mercies exhibited to us. Past mercies exhibited to us. Hey, that's a security, friend, for the past, for the future, and the present is God's past mercy exhibited to us. I've said it 100 times in this church. I'll say it again. That God, hey, our praise is the ingenious mother of future mercies from God. If He has delivered you, praise Him for it. When you get in a dilemma, praise God for it. When your heart gets cold, praise God for the last time He warmed it. When your prayer life ain't right, praise God for the last time that He helped you in your prayer life. When your worship ain't right, and the church services is cold, and the choir ain't a-singing, and the church ain't a-singing, just remember the last time that God opened up heaven and shined down His blessings upon this little crowd. And it'll be an argument for the blessings to flow in our life again. Amen. That is right. Now in verse 7, the psalmist here, old David, displays great confidence in the Lord and is fully assured that he can find shelter in the shadow of Christ's wings. And his argument for that is found in past deliverances. The many times the Lord has been his help. Amen to God. In the past. I want to define argument. Argument is an inference drawn from premises which are indisputable or at least probable truth. I said premises that are indisputable. Some, there are some indisputable things that have happened in our lives, amen to God, that make that a basis for us to stand on, amen, with great confidence and great faith, believing that what God done this, that God will do again. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And if God loved you a month ago, God loves you today. If He loved you 6 months ago, He loves you today. God's love and mercy and grace has not altered one iota for you and I. Not a bit. No, sir. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Those things in the past that are in, you can't dispute them. What God's done, God's done. It's an indisputable fact that God reached down an omnipotent hand. Oh, amen to God. I'm about to lose it. That it is an indisputable fact that on September the 13th, 1970, Brother Mark, that the great God of glory came to where I was, a little old lost heathen on my way to hell. And son, He delivered me that morning from sin and sorrow and out of darkness and into light. Now I'm telling you, that is a great argument that God shall continue to deliver me from all of my troubles until the day that I lay this old carcass down in the grave and say goodbye to this world and hell up yonder. Me and Benny was talking last night. And I'm not looking to kick the bucket tomorrow. But he said, Dad, he said, I've come up with something. I'm not a bit afraid to die. I'm not looking to it right now, but I ain't afraid of it. He said, Dad, and we was talking about it. He said, Dad, said, I've got something. He said, I think we ought to have put on your tombstone when you die. And I said, well, what is that? He said, think we ought to write on there, keep looking up. Jesus may come tonight. Bye for now. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Keep a looking up, friend. Jesus may come tonight. If I go to the grave, it's just bye for now. Hello over on the other side. Glory to God. Amen. I guarantee you when we come to draw that last fleeting breath that God will give us grace. And if He delivered us in the past, it'll be a great argument to stand on that God shall deliver us in the last dilemma of life that we'll ever have to face. I feel God in me, buddy. I feel God in my soul. Amen. That's right. Now the Lord had helped David in the past. Therefore, he knew from experience what the Lord could and would do. Amen. In verse number 2, he had already seen God's power and he had seen God's glory. What would have made David believe that he couldn't see it again out yonder in the wilderness? He said, here was his argument. Lord, I have seen your power. I have seen your glory in the sanctuary. Let me see it in the wilderness. Amen to God. Son, I'm telling you, we might get in the wilderness wondering. Oh, and times may get hard, buddy. It may seem like heaven's brass, but I'm telling you, if we'll stand on that indisputable truth that we have seen the glory in the past and we have had the power in the past, we can, by the grace of God, see it and have it all over again at Island Ford Baptist Church. Bless His wonderful name. Huh? Ain't that right? He had been satisfied, verse 5. Said, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. I want to ask something. You satisfied tonight or disgruntled? Huh? Satisfied or upset? Peeved? Got the lower lip pooches and got the peeves? Huh? Got the mully grubs? Not satisfied no more? Preaching at Island Ford used to be all right. I used to shout when Brother Hall preached. I used to get in the choir and sing and shout when the choir would sing. But I ain't doing it no more. Why? God's the same God. Amen. And you did it once. Why aren't you satisfied now? David said, I was satisfied. I will be satisfied with marrow and fatness. Why, David? Because I know what it's like to sit down at the table of God and be satisfied spiritually in my soul by the goodness of God. Huh? That's right, my friend. If you've ever dined at His table once and got up with a full belly, that's a good indisputable fact that you can sit down and do it again. Have you lost your shout? You can get it back. Have you lost your joy? You can have it back. Have you lost your song? You can get it back. Have you lost your smile? You can get it back. Turn around in the wilderness. Go back the same path. That smile, that shout, that song, that power, that glory awaits you right on the same path where you dropped it off and left it back yonder. I'm telling you, it ain't bothering me, hallelujah to God. Amen. Son, I've got to where I can get up and preach. Amen. It's a drop of hat. Don't make a rap flip to me. Whether you sing, jump the pews, or what you do, I'm going to keep on preaching heaven sweet. Jesus, the best thing that ever happened to me. Glad, thank God. I keep wanting to kick that thing. Get it out of my way right now. Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep a preaching, son, that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me, that I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven. Jesus is soon coming back. Hallelujah. I love old-time religion, old-time holiness, and I'm going to stand there by the grace of God. Amen. And I've done made up my mind. Y'all can come in here with a jingle bell hop if you want to. And the Santa Claus set. Oh, ho, ho, bring the little boys and the little girls. I ain't letting my kids sit on some sodomite's lap. I seen one. Seen one up at the nursing home this morning. I wouldn't let one of them egg suckers lay a hand on me, even wearing rubber gloves. I wouldn't let them around me in an asbestos suit. Huh? I'm walking. I thought, my, ain't that pitiful. God, you've got to be a joke in me. That nurse said, go in there and give Odie a bath. I said, oh, no. I wouldn't let one of them touch me, son. I'm just telling you the fact. I'd raise up on my bed and bust one of them upside the head. I ain't a fool, one of them. Thank God they can forget that. Amen to God. That's right. Now, you, hey, friend, I'm going to tell you something. You can have it. You can have her back. That's right. And why? Because you've experienced it in the past. Whatever God has allowed you and I that was a blessing to our soul to be experienced in the past, we can expect God to bless our soul with it again if it is spiritual and wholesome and holy and right. We can expect God to do it again in our life based upon experience. The argument of experience is what I'm preaching on. Now, I want to say now, and I won't be long, that David had an experience of faith that he could depend upon. And you know it's an amazing thing. I cannot find in the Bible anywhere where it gives the story of David's conversion. Not anywhere. Not nowhere. Somebody said, Brother Hall, why not? I'm going to tell you this, something, friend. You can like it, lump it, hump it, bump it. Don't make no difference to me. It's not so much when and where you got it. It's whether you got it. Do you have it? Do you know now that you got it? Right now, do you know now? We know that David was a man after God's own heart. That if the only thing that he did displeased unto God was his sin with Bathsheba. Therefore, I've got to conclude. The Bible doesn't record it, but I must conclude that David, somewhere in his life, had an experience of faith, and he could make that an argument for future deliverances from God. That's right. Amen. In that experience of faith, he had found help, he said in the Scripture. Because thou hast been my help. The Lord had helped him with the load that he carried. Unto God is a carrying a load of guilt, a load of condemnation, a load of sin. But oh, on that day, whenever, whatever day of his life it was, and I believe it was while he was a young boy. You young boys in here, man, I tell you and young girls, I'd love to see some of you yield your life to God right now and get born again by the good grace of God. I know that David, for a fact, got saved somewhere in life before he ever fought the lion and the bear out of taking care of his daddy's flock. I'm here to tell you, friend, as a young man, David got converted. And he had that as an argument in life that through his life, that God, what he had done in the past, he'd do for him again. That load. When David come to this psalm, he said, Lord, you help me with that load. I was filled up with guilt as just an old guilty sinner, lost and on my way to hell. I was condemned. I was assigned to hell for an eternity. What a load to carry. Condemned, guilty, and sentenced to death, and no way out of it, friend. He said, I remember, Lord, that load, but oh, I remember that day when you came. To where I was, thank God. Some of you sitting on a bar stool. Some of you at an old-fashioned altar. Some of you at an automobile. Some of you at church. Some of you somewhere else. But you remember where you was on that glorious day when God came and rolled the stone away and lifted the load of guilt and condemnation that you carry. That's right. The experience of faith, he helped him with the load he carried. He helped him with the liberty that he sought. I was in chains of bondage, like that old maniac at Gadara, boy. Had me in bondage. Oh, had no liberty. The devil led me about. I was carried about with the course of this world, led me in the course of this world, had my conversation in it. I wasn't nothing but a worldly, my friend, eat up with pleasures and eat up with sin and vice and all the ungodliness of life. Oh, I just like everybody else, I enjoyed the sinful things and the evil things of life, my friend, and was bound up in it. But I'm glad that Jesus came to where I was. And my faith, my friend, He set me free. And whosoever the Son will make free, I'm glad, thank God, they are free indeed. Hallelujah. What liberty. David said, Lord, You gave me liberty. Now I'm here in the wilderness. I'm away from the outward ordinances of God. I'm here, Lord. Now why don't You let me see Your power and Your glory again. Satisfy me again. Let me find, I know, I'll find refuge and rejoice under the shadow of God's wings. I did it back there. I'll do it again. What about the help with the life that it hoped for? Boy, I remember when I was lost, I used to say, I wish I could live like Uncle Chester. I wish I could live like Uncle Herman. I wish I could live another life and didn't have to, wasn't living the way I'm living. Oh, I wish I had the liberty from this old sin they got. And every Monday morning I'd say, Lord, if You'll help me, I won't do it no more. I promise You I won't do it no more, but I'm going to tell you, every Friday night, man, that paycheck went right back to the same old bar, same old faces, same old sin, same old ungodliness, my friend. Now I'm telling you, that old life had me bound down, tied up. Amen to God. No liberty. No liberty, no hope. The load of guilt and sin was upon me. But oh, that glorious Sunday morning, Brother Ricky, thanks be unto God, my friend. I'm glad, thank God, that I can drive by that old honky-tonk today and wave at it goodbye. The cross, blessed be unto the Lamb of God. I've got a hope of a better life. I can come and sing the songs of Zion and find safety and refuge beneath the shadow of His wings. Oh, yes, and rejoice. I know how, yet rejoice again, because God has already let me rejoice too many times. Then I want to say that David not only had his experience of faith, but he had his experience with the flock. He got acquainted with that little flock of his. What about you? You had an experience with the flock, and I ain't talking about rocking with a flock and jamming with a lamb either. I'm not about singing Amazing Grace. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now see, the only jam I like's blackberry. Hallelujah to God. Woo! The only lamb that I enjoy is that one that died yonder on Calvary to lift my old wretched soul out of the depths of sin. Blessed be the darling Lamb of God from whom all my blessings flow. Hallelujah. Now somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Hall, when the flock? Well, you remember when old David went out to in the valley of Elah to fight with old Goliath. And when he got out there, his brother said, I know why you're here. Said, you just here because you had... Who's taking care of that bunch of little, that little flock of yours? Who's watching them little bleating sheep? Why do we know the naughtiness of your heart? Boy, what are you doing out here? You just come out to see the battle. Old David said, is there not a cause? He said, take me to that giant, buddy. He said, I'll cut his stinking head off and feed him to the fowls of the air before the sun goes down. They laughed him to scorn. They said, oh, you're just a little fella. He said, take me to Saul. I want to see the king. And when he got to Saul, he said, hey. He said, king. He said this. He said, don't you worry. He said, don't you fear. David said to Saul, he said, don't worry. He said, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came out a lion and there came out a bear. And he said, hey, I grabbed the bear by his beard and the lion by the mane. And I slew them both and took that little lamb out of their mouth. And he said, I slew them. And that uncircumcised Philistine will be just like them before the sun goes down tonight. I'm telling you that he had an experience with the flock. Amen to God. He had learned how to protect the flock from the lion and the lamb. And I ain't about to let some egg-sucking lion or lamb come in this place and put one of you in their mouth. I'll chop his stinking head off with a two-edged sword, the Word of God, before he can bat his eyeballs. Oh, yeah, I've learned in my life a few things about the flock of God that he's made me the overseer over. Now, I'm not about to let somebody raise up in the midst or to come in from the outside as they did at Ephesus and destroy the flock. That's right, buddy. David said that lion said, he said, Saul, he said that lion, that bear came up, and he said that little old flock said they had, both of them had a lamb in their mouth. I went out and beat the flat snot out of both of them. Jack slapped them about four times, took the lambs out of their mouth, and carried them back to the flock. He said that uncircumcised Philistine has defied the armies of God. His carcass will be just like the lion and the bear before the sun goes down. Amen. He had an experience with the flock. He learned how to the protection of the flock. He learned how to be patient with predators. You know what that word bear means in the Hebrew? It simply means slow. There are some predators that will get in the house of God and they just work slow. They take their time. They're slow movers. Now the lion, he's crafty and he's the strongest beast in the jungle. David had to learn, my friend, how to have power over the enemy with the lion. But he had to learn how to have patience with that bear. I'm going to tell you, if there's anything that gets under my skin, friend, it's predators that sneak into the house of God. Like a bear, not like a roaring lion, but like an old, slow, fat, moving bear that just waits and moves and crouches and moves slow until he finds an opportunity to pounce on a little lamb. And David said, I've learned to be patient and keep my eyes on that bear. Amen. As long as that bear stays on the perimeter, I'll leave it alone. And as long as the bear stays on the perimeter at Island Ford, I'll leave it alone. But honey, if you come into the flock of God and try to grab a lion, I'm going to cut your stinking head off before you can bat an eyeball. David knew who the bear was, and David knew who the lion was. And as long as they stayed out there, fine and dandy. But he said, if you come around my flock, I'll cut your head off. Now I want to ask you something. Where do you think David got that kind of faith? Now listen to me. Our experiences with God build one upon another through our life. David looked back to his experience of faith. He said, God delivered me then. Why shouldn't he deliver me from the bear's paw and the lion's mouth? He said, if he done it back there, he'll do it here. That's why David could say when he got out there in that wilderness and was fleeing for his life, he could look back and say, God delivered me, my friend, from the load I carried and gave me faith. God delivered me from the bear and the lion. And God shall deliver me again. I shall yet rejoice. I've got that hope and that confidence. I've got an argument built upon the past experiences of my life. That's right. I want to say he had an experience for the fight. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Hall? Well, down in that same chapter in 1 Samuel 17. When Saul said, David said, wait a minute, said Goliath there. David said, I'm going to slay that guy. And David said, don't fear him. Said, your servant here, said a lion and a bear, rose up against me when I was with this flock. And he said, they had a lamb in their mouth, and I took it out of their mouth and slew them. And he said, David said in verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord, listen now, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. I'm talking about, friend, about the argument of experience. David, when he went out to face Goliath, he said, hey, God has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And if God delivered me there, then God will deliver me today. Now I'm here to tell you, church, that the wilderness that we're in, we've not always been there. and the God that delivered us back in 1996, I believe it was, and put a spirit of joy and power and praise and glory in this place. That same God can do it again. And we've got an argument based upon the experience that we've already had in the Lord and His visitation upon this church. Oh, come again, O breath. Come, O God. Swing wide thy gate of love and fill thy servants with power and glory. Visit us one more time. Rejoice our hearts again. Refresh our souls again, O God. Let us sing praises one more time. Bring back another five-week meeting, O God. Save some old sinner in a corner. Baptize a convert. Get a family right with God. Save some old Catholic. Get somebody right with God at the house of God again, Lord. That's right. Now look here. David's argument for victory in verse 37 was based upon the victory the Lord gave unto him when he fought the lion and the bear. Let me ask you something tonight. You ever fought the lion and the bear? You ever had a fight in your life? You ever had to roll up your sleeves and fight for life? Have you ever had to roll up your sleeve and fight for somebody you love? David loved them little sheep. He was fighting for them. David loved Israel, and he loved the God of Israel. That's why he went into the Valley of Elah and fought against Goliath. You ever had to fight for somebody you love? Roll up your sleeve, get out in the fight a little bit? Huh? Have you ever had to fight for your own? I'm talking about your own spirit. Friend, you're going to have to fight for your own spiritual life. You cannot roll over and play dead on God. It is a fight. It's a battle. If you just stop and just sit down on your stool and do nothing, quit reading your Bible, quit praying, come to church. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I just don't feel like singing in the ring ain't the singing in the choir. Hey, hey, hey! Come to church whether you feel like it or not and let her rain to the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something. I don't much feel like preaching tonight either. I didn't feel like it when I left the house. I didn't feel like it when I started preaching. But praise be unto the God of glory. The God that delivered me a few times in the past has delivered me again. And I feel like God like preaching again tonight. Glory to God. People down there said, do this. I said, what on God's name does that mean? They said, do this way. They said, now do your hands like this. They said, now do your other hand like that. What? Now do them both. I don't know what they're talking about. Praise God, I ain't going to worry either. Hallelujah to God. Whew. We get a real bad wheel shake, rattle, and roll around this place, boys. Huh? Hallelujah to God. I done had two men volunteer to roll me in on a wheelchair and prop me up. I had to be. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach. God has let me preach. I believe God's going to yet let me preach. God called me to preach. I love to preach. I want to preach. I eat preach. I sleep preach. I talk preach. I'm a preacher. Can't you don't know it? But God, I am a preacher. Old time, old fashioned, Holy Ghost filled, a preaching man that loves the Word of God and loves to preach the Bible. That's right. Hallelujah. And look here. Now we're coming down to the close. Look here. David said here. I mean, Saul said here, David. Take my sword and my armor. And go on out and fight the battle. David put that armor on of that great big man that stood a head and shoulders above everybody in Israel, put his sword on. David said, I can't go in this mess. He said, why not? David said, I ain't proved it. But he said, I'm going to tell you what I have proved. He said, I got a staff and I got a sling. And God done said, there's five smooth stones of grace right down yonder in that creek. Amen to God. They're smooth because the waters run over them a whole lot. Huh? You get a hold of that? Hey, the water will run over your grace and make us smooth for God. That you can take a smooth stone of grace. All it took was one, son, the number of God speck in the eye.
Amen.
No, Goliath went down. David went up. Bless God, rolled him over from his back to his belly, took his own sword and cut his head off and won the battle. But I'm going to tell you how he won the battle, church. He won it with the staff and the sling. What is so prominent about that? The same little weapon that he used when he was watching the flock. Oh, yes. David said, what I've used back there will be all right to use now. And I'm all here to tell you, friend, what this church and all other churches have done in the past to have the power. Not in a little puppet. Not in Miss Piggy. No Muppet puppet. Well, we'll have children's church. Didn't have it in 1966 or 896. They have no puppet show, no children's church. But I'm telling you, no quartet. But we have God. Yeah. Amen. And I'm going to tell you how we'll get God back. We'll get Him back just like we got it 3 years ago. And we can have it because we did have it. And if we'll stand on that as our argument with God, God in love and mercy will visit this church all over again. Then to get God is exactly what it'll take to get God again. And we can stand on that argument before God and use it. Somebody said, what brought it then? Preaching. That's right. Old-fashioned. Old-time preaching. Now, I've already covered that some. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take more than preaching. I'll tell you something else it took back then. Praying! I'll never forget before the Jubilee that year, I called for 6 o'clock prayer meetings. For any men that wanted to come be in those prayer meetings. Am I telling it right, Benny? Huh? Are you listening to what I'm getting ready to tell you, buddy? And when we'd come to those prayer meetings, generally it was myself and Benny and Brother Crawford and Doug and Steve. And we met every morning right here in this auditorium at 6 o'clock in the morning and prayed every day. Every day, every day, every morning, every morning. Somebody said, what happened? Son, I'm going to tell you what happened. We started that Jubilee meeting. And Brother Aubrey Brown started the meeting, and it just, I don't know, Brother Brown was preaching good, but God just wasn't there. It wasn't here. And I was sitting right back there in that middle, and I thought, my God, I'm about to puke. I got sick to my stomach. I said, we have prayed. We have labored. We've planned this thing. We got some of the greatest preachers in the country. And I said, Lord, it's not the preaching. Brother Brown's a tremendous man of God. And I said, I don't know what it is, but I said, we need God. And I'm going to tell you, I got sick at my stomach, and it just wasn't a clicking. I got up in that pew and walked out that back door and walked out in the parking lot and stood in the parking lot with my hands on my hips and began to weep. And I said, Lord, we've prayed. Hey, we have prayed. We've preached. We've shouted in the past, and we're trusting God. We're trusting You to do great and mighty things in this place. And I said, Lord, we've got to have help. You've helped us in the past. I will rejoice under the shadow of Your wing. I will not be deprived of the power and the blessings of God. He's promised me the power and the glory and the blessings. And by the way, God said there, yes, be a voice of joy and a voice of the bride and a voice of the bridegroom and a voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts in this place. This place. When I come in and sit back down, Brother Brown finished preaching and I got up and walked to the pulpit. And I said, there's some of you preachers in here. If we was in your church, you'd be a shouting amen and an agony and all. And I said, you remember it, Brother Ricky? I said, you sit there like a stiff neck, bless God. Act like you don't care whether God's within 1,000 miles of here or not. And I'll never forget it. Ricky stepped up from right where he was sitting right now. And when he hit that aisle, the Holy Ghost fell in this place. And he testified and shouted a little while about what God had done in his life just a few months earlier right over there, and the glory fell. and the power fell. And I'm telling you, from that Thursday afternoon until Friday night when this thing was over, God was thick around this place, Brother Mark. Now I'm here to tell you, the preaching and the praying and the praising that brought the power and the blessings of God there is an argument that we can put forth to God and stand on with confidence that what God done there, God will do again for us. For will thou, Lord, not revive us again? Let thy people may rejoice in God one more time. Son, I feel God in my soul. I feel like I could run my head through the wall, fly to the moon, circle it four times, shoot a Sputnik at Russia, and come back and land on the Ohio River in Louisville. Bless His name. Let me ask you something. You've had God in the past? You remember when we used to come to the choir and sing and get on? Remember when we used to have specials and get on? Get to do it again. God ain't done. No. Somebody said, preacher, what have we done? What have we done to lead us into the wilderness? Maybe nothing. David hadn't done a thing. The fault lied with somebody else. Psalm 63 is a result of Absalom. Couldn't be any rebellion in the house of God, could there? Just wonder if there might be a tad bit of rebellion. See, I'm just not talking about that. I'm not just talking about Absalom himself. I'm talking about what Absalom was involved in rebellion. There's just a tad bit of it somewhere. And God said, until it's gone and exposed, revealed, exposed, and dealt with, we'll just stay out here in the wilderness. But I'm going to tell you something. While we're out here, I'm still going to cry, oh God, my God, thou art my God. I long for thee, my flesh longs for thee, my soul thirsteth after God, my flesh longs after God. In a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, I'm glad I can still have communion with God out yonder in the wilderness. Amen. And hey, David said, back yonder in the sanctuary, I remember your power and your glory back there. Now show it to me out here like I saw it back there before. I'm going to tell you, friend, He will show it again. God is not done with this little ragtag outfit. God is not done with this preacher. I've just begun to fight, bless God. I ain't about to give up. I have just begun to whip my sword. I'm sorry. Nobody else will say it. I'll say it myself. I'm doing better preaching than I've ever done, and I'm liking it. Glory to God. I feel like a speaking table, come over, hallelujah to God, and throw it out in the middle of the floor. Amen. I'm not done, and God's not done, and He's not returned yet. Let's get out of the molly grub, get out of the wilderness, believe that what God done then, God will do again, and come to church and serve and worship God. Forget Santa Claus. Bury the little red-suited moron. Huh? Some fella come up to Boo Bear down there in the mall and said, hi, little girl. Said, I'm Santa Claus. She said, you ain't either. He said, oh, yeah. Said, feel my beard. Said, it's real. Said, I'm Santa Claus. Boo turned around, walked off, told her mama, said, he's wicked. Right, ain't it? I'm glad you said it. Teach kids that there's a Santa Claus. Get all wrapped up in Christmas and forget about Christmas. Get all wrapped up in Christmas and forget about Christmas. Forget about Jesus. God, let's come Tuesday night and Sunday morning expecting God to do what He's done in the past. As we pray this week, just lift that up before God with confidence. With confidence. David said that with confidence. Therefore, thou hast been my help. Therefore. Because you have been my help. I shall yet rejoice. In the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Now I'm going to tell you something. Them wings of that little black bird, those wings don't let a drop of rain through, not a drop of snow, not a drop of cold. And under those wings is what's called the down. You know what down feathers are? Down feathers are what they put in the expensive feather killer. Soft and warm. And Jesus just rolls his wings up like that and lets us crawl up under and just close it down while we're there in the wilderness. Let the rain fall, let the snow fall, let it get freezing cold. I'm warm in the down and I'm protected by the feather. Ooh, what a God we have.
Praise Him! Bless His wonderful name.
You know what David said?
David said, the king shall yet rejoice, but they that are my enemy shall go down into the pit.
Bless His wonderful name, friend. I'm going to thank God today that we have got an argument based on experience. Let's stand together. Thank God for letting me preach. I didn't think I had that in me. I'll just be quite honest with you. But I'm going to say, ain't God good? Son, I'm going to say, if He'd give me the liberty right now, I'd run 50 laps. I feel God in my heart, my soul. I feel God in this place. Amen. I don't know what all God's are doing, but whatever He's doing, they're doing it all right. I believe He's a stirring heart and getting us ready and doing some things for His honor and His glory. That's right. Bless His wonderful name. I want to say this. I've said it before. I'll say it now. I put this church up against any in the country. I'm not ashamed of it. I put it up against any in the country for faithfulness and holiness and old-time religion. I'm talking about color none. Now, hey, some of them bigger and they can sing a little louder. They may have a few more people. They may sing a little better. They may have some more talent than we got. But I'm going to tell you what, talent, friend, don't bring God. Talent don't bring God. Faithfulness, holiness, dedication, honesty, integrity, character. That's what brings God. I'm going to be quite honest with you. Even a little shouting don't impress God. Don't impress God one bit. Now, if God shows up and we're worshiping Him, that pleases Him. But this, I'm going to tell you what. My son-in-law called me the other night and he was all tore up. He said, "Preachers, I don't know what to do." He said, "The young preacher from up the road at the close of our service tonight just took it over. They just took it over, took the service." Said he started shouting. Said I told him, "Let's just get in the corner with our families and have a quiet prayer and we'll dismiss." Said the boy got up to testify and just went to hooping and hollering and screaming and shouting. Said he shouted for 2 hours. Said he instigated it. Got the kids in the church throwing water bottles up against the wall and taking their shoes off and throwing them. I never seen. And I'm going to have to give old Steve credit. The very first thing he done, got on the phone, called his pastor. I didn't think he'd do that. I'm honest. I'm going to have to pat him on the back for that. But he called his pastor. He said, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "It was absolutely the biggest chaotic mess I've ever seen in my life, and that boy thought God was in it." I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you think God's in little boys acting nuts, little girls acting crazy and throwing their shoes up against the wall and turning over pews and throwing water bottles, that ain't God ain't in that. There is an order, and praise is comely to the saints, but it's got its order, and it is not uncomely. It does not reveal the flesh in no way. Mark that down in your little book. And if that boy up there thinks that his kids run around over church throwing their shoes and water bottles up against the wall for 2 hours and then taking the service and getting a little 11-year-old boy up to preach 3 times in a service, some little 11-year-old boy, after the pastor had already dismissed the church and shut it down, and he thinks that's spiritual, that boy's got a great deal to learn, friend. I don't claim to be a spiritual giant and know everything, but that boy sitting down across from me at that table, a year ago this past October and said he was a passion through and on his way to Minnesota. And I talked to him 5 minutes. The Holy Ghost said, leave that boy alone. He's got problems. Are you listening to what I'm praying? Come, you can walk with God a while and learn a few things. Brother Hanley Milby sitting in my office one day, and a man come walking down that sidewalk, walked by that woman. Brother Milby looked out that woman and said, who is that man? I told him who it was. He said, keep your eyes on that man. The Holy Ghost said he's trouble, and he's caused trouble. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The Holy Ghost is a God of order. That's right. And he'll give people some spiritual discernment and a little wisdom and understanding. And it's a good thing I wasn't up there. Steve said, I didn't know what to do. I said, I didn't say this, but I knew what I'd have done. I'd have grabbed that young whippersnapper by the nape of the neck and see the pants bust. God, and I escorted him out the back door. And if he wouldn't want to go, I'd have thrown him out. And if I wasn't big enough to do it, I took the lethal weapon with me and let him do it. That's right. That's right. I'm not going to let junk like that go. We worship God, and I've seen some things. I've seen her get on in here. I've seen her get on. But I'm going to tell you, when you got little 4 and 5 year old kids throwing water bottles up against the wall and throwing shoes up the wall, and one man shouting for 2 hours and everybody else sitting in the pew. Now, I'm going to tell you a good rule of thumb when it comes to worshiping God. Watch your preacher. If God lets the man of God shout and worship God, it'll be all. But I'll tell you what, I can tell when somebody out there is just in the flesh, and I'm just not going to jump up and join in somebody in the flesh. But I do want God back in order and holiness with His grace and glory. And He did say, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And no good thing has got to be Him. He's the best thing I know. He will not withhold Himself from us.